John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, July 5th, 2012. Israeli military to confiscate more Palestinian land for military use. Meanwhile, the Gaza Strip continues to suffer power shortages. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Israeli army decided to confiscate 2,500 square meters of Palestinian lands south of the southern West Bank city of Hebron in order to build a military base in the area. Abdul Hadi Hantash, an expert in maps and settlements, stated that the central command of the Israeli army decided to confiscate the privately owned Palestinian lands close to the Adadaria roadblock. Hantash stated that the army also wants to install a military tower to monitor Palestinian traffic at the Ar-Ramadin and Adadaria junctions. Elsewhere, Palestine News Network reported that settlers from Rotem settlement in the North Jordan Valley seized Palestinian land Wednesday as part of their continued illegal expansion. The settlers quietly moved during the morning to incorporate new lands into the settlement, including an adjacent hill. The hill was promptly fenced and barricaded from its Palestinian owners. The settlers then set the foundations for future facilities. In related news, Israeli Army Colonel Ofir Hindi, head of the administration responsible for construction of the annexation wall, revealed plans to continue construction on the wall in Jerusalem in the upcoming weeks. Israeli newspaper Yedaot Haronot reported on discussions during an Israeli Supreme Court hearing regarding an appeal Palestinians have submitted to stop construction plans, including building in Jerusalem City and near Gush Etzion settlement near Bethlehem. In Gaza news, the Palestinian Energy Authority has urged citizens to limit their electricity use. The sole power station in Gaza has reduced its production to 30 megawatts in the daytime and 50 megawatts at night. With power usage doubling in summer months, the plant is only able to meet the needs of half the population. The reason for this drastic fuel shortage is the continuing Israeli blockade. Only 100,000 litres of fuel reaches Gaza every day, well short of the 500,000 litres needed by the 1.7 million residents. Last June, the plant was forced to shut completely due to a delay in a shipment of fuel from Qatar. And that's all from today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, July 5th Daily News Roundup from the Occupied Palestinian Territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Cassis and me, Jack Muir.
Every month, a select group of staff from congressional intelligence committees travel to CIA headquarters to watch classified videos of drone strikes in Pakistan and Yemen. With high-level security clearances, congressional staffers have viewed images of Hellfire missiles smashing into buildings and vehicles associated with suspected terrorists. Top committee staff have access to classified material, including telephone intercepts and CIA assessment reports of each drone strike. According to the Los Angeles Times, increased oversight of the drone program is the result of requests by California Senator Dianne Feinstein, chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Pakistani officials continue to complain that drone strikes are killing dozens of innocent civilians. Brigadier General Abdullah Dogar, a defense attaché at the Pakistan Embassy in Washington, D.C., points to an incident on March 17, 2011, that killed 45 civilians, including members of a tribal council. The Washington, D.C.-based New America Foundation says that at least 471 civilians were killed in U.S. drone attacks since 2004, but congressional staffers assert that the number of casualties in Pakistan is not reliable. Dissent is now beginning to surface in Congress over so-called signature strikes, in which the U.S. uses drones to attack armed men who intelligence analysts say fit a pattern of behavior that indicates they are involved in terrorist activities. While the Obama administration has curbed signature drone strikes in Pakistan, the CIA has been given the green light to carry out such attacks in Yemen, home to al-Qaeda's most active affiliate. 26 members of Congress signed a letter to President Obama in June, complaining the U.S. drone campaign has virtually no transparency, accountability, or oversight.
Afghanistan, 3rd of July. An American soldier was killed by small arms fire near the Pakistani border. Afghanistan, 3rd of July. 5 U.S. troops were wounded when an Afghan government soldier suddenly opened fire on them just outside a NATO base. Afghanistan, 2nd of July. An Afghan policeman opened fire, killing 3 NATO soldiers of unspecified nationality. This has been going on since the Afghans were fighting the Soviet Union. Afghanistan, 3rd of July. An Afghan official reports that 41 members of the Afghan local police have switched sides, surrendering to the Taliban and joining them. Afghanistan, 5th of July. The first NATO convoy to carry supplies to NATO forces in Afghanistan in 7 months rolled over the border into Afghanistan. The border was closed to NATO convoys after a U.S. airstrike killed 24 Pakistani soldiers in November 2011. This after the U.S. issued an apology for the deadly airstrike. Arms and ammunition are still not permitted in these convoys, and NATO is focusing on a northern route that bypasses Pakistan for the upcoming withdrawal from Afghanistan. Speaking of convoys, Afghanistan, 5th of July. A roadside bomb hit an Italian military convoy under U.S. leadership without causing casualties. Possibly an MRAP armored vehicle triggered the IED before soft-skinned vehicles could hit it. Mr. Barack Obama, the war news really hasn't changed much since the start of the war. Now is the time to pull the plug, withdraw the troops now and not after the election is over. Waiting until 2014 is sacrificing lives to stay in office, and if it doesn't work, Romney gets a chance to extend the war.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me, ain't going back again.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. On the 28th of June, as temperatures began to rise in D.C., Metro riders and bus drivers gathered outside Metro's headquarters to denounce this year's massive fare hikes and benefit cuts. As an alternative to Metro's game of pitting riders against workers, both together demanded that taxes on businesses that benefit from Metro be used to cancel fare increases, wage cuts, and benefit cuts.
It's a tremendous generator of money and value in this city. We know all the real estate development, all the Verizon centers, the national stadiums, FedEx stadium out in Landover generates a tremendous amount of money for businesses and developers throughout this region. But on the other hand, we know that these very same people who are making millions and billions of dollars off the Metro system refuse to pay their fair share. They're trying through their efforts to force onto the backs of working people who ride the system a larger and larger share of the cost of operating it. And they're trying to force onto the backs of the workers who operate the system on a day-to-day basis, lower wages, cuts in pensions, higher costs for health insurance, so the rich in this city, the 1%, continue to line their pockets with wealth and money. And we're standing here today in solidarity with transit workers and solidarity with the riding public to say this process has to end. We have to fight for our fair share. We have to fight for lower fares and support the fight for a decent contract for transit workers, which preserves their wages and benefit package, which they have been fighting for to maintain since 1917. So we cannot let the bosses get over on us. We have to stand up side by side and fight back.
That's right!
You heard that, D.C. Council. You heard that, Montgomery County. In Arlington and Fairfax County, Metro riders and workers aren't buying your game anymore. You can't play off riders against bus drivers and Metro train operators. You're going to have to tax the rich that Metro has made rich. On the 28th of June, the Occupy caravan arrived in D.C. on the way to the Occupy convention in Philadelphia. Brand new tents were pitched on the Park Service's fancy new grass on the General Assembly lawn, the only part of McPherson Square not fenced off for landscaping. The cops showed up in a few hours, looking very unhappy to see that Occupy is back. The Anarchist Alliance DC Network has vowed to hold McPherson Square in an ongoing occupation under the slogan, "Restoring McPherson Square, the occupation will not move." That afternoon, all three groups marched to the United States Postal Service headquarters to support hunger-striking postal workers opposing a service reduction of 5 deliveries a week and massive job cuts. One person was detained but later released as protesters attempted to enter the United States Postal Service headquarters for a citizen's arrest of Postmaster General Donahoe.
Have a good paying job! Do you support that?
Yeah!
We are here to make sure that our senior citizens living in rural America can have medications delivered on Saturday. Do you support that?
Yeah!
We are here to make sure that low-income Americans who do not have internet service do still have a postal service to deliver their mortgage payments, to deliver their bill payments, to deliver their Social Security checks.
Medicine.
Do you support that?
Yeah!
Yes!
They're going to try to arrest Donahoe.
United, we'll never be defeated!
More swarming across. Detained after getting behind police lines was released and gave this speech. I guess they didn't want to arrest him and get a lot of bad publicity for postal cutbacks and firing people.
I gotta see what kind of responses I get from the U.S. Attorney and the OIG and the Chief Postal Inspector. I'll write back to them. I've been writing to them since March. I'm just getting 4 months back.
5 day a week delivery, which will cost 80,000 jobs. We got a team for that. 5 days. No.
That evening, with a New York City contingent being present in the caravan, occupiers and anarchists marched first to the White House, then to the Martin Luther King Memorial, demanding an end to the New York Police Department's infamous stop and frisk racial profiling stops.
Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime! Stop and frisk, it is the crime! Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime! Stop and frisk, it is the crime!
Stop and frisk laws!
It's stop and frisk laws!
Community.
The African American community.
And the Latino community.
And the Latino community.
And we say. No to racist laws.
No to racist laws.
No to racist laws.
Is that in New York City?
More African Americans.
More African Americans.
We're stopped and searched. Than actually live in New York City.
Moving on before the Park Police can engage. That night, as sleeping in a tent at McPherson would have exposed him to attack by armed Park Police, the occupation slept in front of the Bank of America across from the U.S. Treasury on the 15th Street side. If you can't sleep in the occupied tents at McPherson Square, why not sleep in front of Bank of America? The following morning came the climax of 2 days of action. An 108-foot-long banner was used to block entry and delay the opening of Bank of America. Even after the banner was moved up to allow passengers behind it, and even after the bank branch did open, few customers would approach. The banner was finally rolled up and hauled away at about 11:30 a.m., having been in place since 9 a.m. and successfully recovered by protesters.
A personal story
about how Bank of America
has affected my life.
Bank of America
is the number one funder
of the coal industry.
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
We have four coal-fired power plants surrounding our city. We also have Bank of America's corporate headquarters.
We also have
the highest childhood asthma rates. I myself was born with asthma. But I was lucky. Because my two brothers both?
They both?
Were born with scoliosis.
Were born with scoliosis.
They were stopped?
They were stopped?
From growing?
From growing?
For a full year.
For a full year.
Bank of America?
Bank of America?
Is not only ruining this country financially.
Is not only ruining this country financially.
But they are actually poisoning us.
But they are actually poisoning us.
Thank you.
A planned 2 p.m. march was canceled because of the extreme heat, which reached 104 degrees Fahrenheit. An anti-capitalist march originally planned for 5:30 p.m. was moved to sunset.
They stopped by
the American Legislative Exchange Council, BP, and Monsanto before marching off to Freedom Plaza, which has also been reoccupied. Just outside Freedom Plaza, one cop assaulted a protester, touching off a confrontation from which police eventually withdrew. On the pigs and make them retreat to their vehicles. Could be calling back up or bringing weapons out.
Assault!
I didn't see exactly what he did. What exactly did he do?
I was in here, dude. I'm 39.
Yeah, better run. We don't want people getting your tag numbers if you assaulted somebody. There are still laws in this town. The caravan may have moved on to the Occupy convention in Philly over the 4th of July, but the reoccupation of McPherson Square continues. The Anarchist Alliance DC Network calls this Restoring McPherson Square. The occupation will not move.
On the 4th of July, the United States Marijuana Party and many other organizations advocating legalization of marijuana, full legalization of marijuana, as well as medical marijuana advocates, gathered in Lafayette Park for the 43rd annual marijuana smoke-in. The event has survived September 11th and everything else. The biggest problem now is checkpoints set up down in the mall on the route to the concert, which has always had after the pot smoking, has been going on at least back to 1983.
Mr. Obama, we're here. We're right across the street from you. We're asking you that you look at it. I mean, you did it, dude. I mean, you smoked pot. I mean, you smoked pot just like we smoked pot.
It is a felony, and
second conviction in D.C.
that in front of Eric Holder when he was our Attorney General of the District of Columbia about 10 years ago. They were trying to make your first conviction for marijuana a felony in Washington, D.C. about 10 years ago, and I was able to persuade our city council that they would be jeopardizing the future of many young citizens by adding that stigma as a criminal to their young lives.
Free the weed! Free the weed! Free the weed! Free the weed!
The march proceeded down the time-honored route down 17th Street and then west on Constitution Avenue to the concert site on a mall near 23rd Street. Of course, ever since 2002, those who want to attend the concert have had to pass through bag search checkpoints. 4th of July, the Mall Fireworks, Washington, D.C. This is the marijuana march coming in on the Give Up Your Fourth Amendment Rights search checkpoint. For the concert site, it's been here since the 70s. It's inside the zone the government put checkpoints on. I'm sure this is no accident. It would have been no more fence line to cut the checkpoints short, run them down from here to Lincoln Memorial. It would have been no extra burden on the Park Service. But by setting the checkpoints here, they get to search people on their way to the marijuana concert. There's a lot of history associated with this event and a number of official attacks. It was, I believe it was in 1970 or 71 that they had to march through the reflecting pool to bypass the National Guard. In 1984, you had James Watt trying to ban rock music on the Mall at the request of Ronald Reagan. In 1983, the Lyndon LaRouche people somehow got their hands on the permit for Lafayette Park. Ever since then, this permit's been applied for a year in advance. During the mid-80s, there were some major battles fought both in Lafayette Park and on the Mall near 23rd Street at the concert site when police tried to arrest people for smoking marijuana or just for refusing to allow their coolers to be searched. The checkpoints are not the first official attack on the marijuana legalization march and concert, but I hope they'll be the last, and I hope these checkpoints at the 4th of July are discontinued soon. What a way to celebrate so-called American freedom, passing through a bag search checkpoint to watch fireworks. For all you 1%ers out there who think Occupy means rats, maybe you would prefer the way Greek anarchists fight against austerity? On or about the 27th of June, armed fighters rammed a van loaded with gasoline cans into Microsoft's headquarters in Greece. When security guards tried to intervene, they were chased away with pistols and an automatic weapon. Then the gas cans were ignited. The fire destroyed the van and did enough damage to the building to shut it down. The damage to Microsoft's headquarters was estimated at $75,000 equivalent in euros. The IMF and German bankers have been trying to ram an austerity program that looks like a caricature of the GOP's Ryan budget down Greek throats. It even includes taxes on minimum wage earners, as well as wholesale firings of public sector workers and wage cuts for private sector workers. Why on earth should a government balanced budget plan impose wage cuts on people who don't even work for the government? Those cuts will reduce tax collections by making the Great Recession worse in Greece. And even some of the 1%ers are beginning to admit that the so-called bailout for Greece will never work.
Well, DNA is natural, it's the building block of life. And when the good Lord put it together, you know, I think he did it upright. He made lots of different organisms, a complex web of life. Each one dependent on another, and so the circle it closed up tight. But then along came a man and a microscope, and he separated the genes. And when he put them all back together, he made lots of strange, unnatural things. And now food crops grow on the ocean floor, cows that grow on trees. Now the ranchers gaze while their oysters graze on grass that depends on a hormone spray in our genetically modified world.
Pepco must be controlled by climate change deniers. For the past 10 years, as evidence of global climate change began to pile up, Pepco has reduced their workforce of linemen, those who go up the poles and fix the wires, by half. They admitted this in an interview with WUSA, TV9 News, the interview Pepco walked out on. Pepco has more customers now than it did 10 years ago. Climate change means more and worse storms, yet Pepco has cut their repair workers' jobs. Is it any wonder people get to sit in the heat while all their food rots in a refrigerator?
50 million years ago, walked upon the planet so, thought of all that you could see, just a little bit like me, walking in your footsteps, walking in your footsteps.
Until 3 years ago, we never saw massive, multi-day power outages in a DC area, except from Hurricane Bell in 1973, Hurricane Isabel in 2003, 30 years later, and a 1999 ice storm. Now we've had three summers in a row featuring major power outages, and 2010 had been a winner too from the blizzards. First 2010 blizzards turned out the lights for days on end. That same year, 2010, featured incredible heat in mid-July, followed by violent thunderstorms ending in power outages of nearly a week. Sound familiar? The next year came Hurricane Irene and another round of power outages. Meanwhile, Pepco has gotten a reputation for power failures at random times. Finally, June 29th's 104-degree heat spawned the Derrico storms. Again, even after three rounds of outages, Pepco's half-sized workforce meant repairs took twice as long until crews could be flown in from places as far away as Canada. Had Pepco not reduced their workforce, twice as many people would have had their electricity turned back on June 30th and July 1st before most out-of-area crews arrived. Pepco has, by their practice of reducing jobs, been denying both climate change and regional growth. Pepco is continuing to buy half their electricity from coal-fired power plants, and part of that from power plants burning mountaintop removal coal is also a form of climate change denial. It looks like we're in for a perfect storm of trouble as climate change and budget cuts hit us at the same time. Local weather is controlled by the jet stream winds, which act like a fire hose that has been turned on and dropped. Global climate change at levels that are hard to measure can increase energy in the jet stream, like putting more pressure in that fire hose. The result is more extreme weather of all types, even as utilities fought for budget cuts. In years to come, electrical power will become unreliable as what used to be 10-year storms will become normal weather events. With electrical power becoming unreliable and oil becoming ever more expensive, the Great Recession could well become permanent, thus reducing coal and oil consumption and carbon dioxide emissions, but maybe too late. Still think we aren't part of Earth's natural cycles and stand above them instead? In the end, this is the sort of thing that brings empires and civilizations to their knees. With enough coal and oil consumption, today's children will literally inherit the wind.